children of all ages. Clash of Nerds is proud to present to you the number one podcast in the world, Armbar!
We're actually not the number one podcast in the world. I haven't even checked our iTunes rating.
But I'm just hoping I didn't dip out of frame.
Yeah, you might have. Maybe we're in the top 100. Maybe. We're the best. We might not be ranked the best, but we are the best. Why?
Because there's a belt
face
right there.
Well, you pointed at me. Close enough.
Whatever. I don't care anymore.
This is must-see TV. Or Miss CTV. Your future intercontinental.
You hate it so much that he makes you like him.
I know. He's now, he is slowly becoming top five. Because right now it's Dolph. It'll always be Dolph until he retires. Finn, AJ. Shit, he might be number four. Nope, Alexa. Alexa's number. Yeah, he cracked the top five. He's number five. Nah, maybe Handsome Rusev.
We'll leave that up to when how he does, yeah, does when he gets back.
Yeah. But I want to start off this this podcast topic because it's something near and dear to me. This is something I've been thinking for a while. Fucking Rip Rogers, former OVW trainer, and Randy Orton fucking said and got ripped for it. Indie wrestling kind of sucks. You know why it sucks? It's too fucking choreographed. Like, I should have written down Rip Rogers' tweet, but it was like, big spot, dive, counter, kick out, dive, big. It looks too choreographed. Mm-hmm. I can't, when I'm watching indie wrestling, I can't suspend my disbelief. And that's the magic of wrestling. Like, we all know it's rigged, okay? And we know they take care of each other in the ring. Yes, some of the falls hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, bumps hurt. But it doesn't hurt like if they were really fighting. Mm-hmm. When I watch a lot of indie wrestling, especially like a lot of New Japan too, I'm sad to say, there's a lot of flips and reversals and shit like that, and it looks horrifically choreographed. Like today, someone like posted a video on Facebook of this New Japan match, and there was just like it looked cool. Like there was a lot of like reverse hurricanranas, flips, and stuff like that. That looks cool.
Oh, were you
and
talking
shit.
About the Dragonarana from Will Ospreay?
It might have been. I didn't pay
attention. Where the dude did almost a 450 into a hurricanrana?
No, I didn't see that. But anyways, okay. What I'm saying is like there were so many spots where the guy taking the bump had to wait and put himself in the position to choreograph the move. And that works for a movie because you can cut and edit, you know. But when I'm watching a match and I see a guy sitting there waiting for someone to hit a hurricanrana on him, I'm just kind of like, why aren't you moving? Why are you letting the guy do the move to you? And that's the problem I have with a lot of the indie wrestling stuff, is that it's too choreographed. Like, it's too high spot.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that you lumped in New Japan in that, just because I know that the Japanese style is supposed to actually look more like fighting. But at the same time, I haven't really watched a whole lot.
Well, that's
lot.
The problem with a lot of the New Japan stuff.
Okay.
It's like this strong style hybrid luchador kind of thing.
Okay.
To where they're doing a lot of these high spots that don't look real. They look choreographed.
Yeah.
And Ring of Honor has this problem, like a lot of the indie circuits.
Lucha
has
Underground
problem.
Definitely has that problem because that's why I stopped watching Lucha Underground.
Yeah,
it's cool to watch in like
small doses.
Small doses, but if every week it's, you know, a high spot fest, it gets
well. That's
kind
what
of
that's what Rip Rogers was saying. In fact, like what made me think about because I was going to put on the topic and I forgot about it, but then I listened to Jim Cornette talk about it today, and Jim Cornette's on our side again. For somebody who I get annoyed by so much, I tend to agree with him on all the points. But our good buddy Jim Cornette was talking about the same thing. It's just like, it's all like wash, rinse, repeat. Yes, again, we know it's fixed. We know it's rigged. But I want to suspend my disbelief, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when I'm watching Raw, like, I don't think, oh, this is choreographed. In that moment, I'm thinking, like, this is an actual competitive thing. I want this guy to win, kind of thing like that.
Yeah.
And when, like, we go to commercial, I get up and go get another drink, something like that, the brain settles back into reality. It's like, when I'm thinking about it, okay, Roman Reigns won that match, why did he win that match? Does it help the story, kind of thing like that?
Yeah.
I think about it in writing, in logistic terms of my mind.
You break it down because that's how your mind works.
Yeah, but exactly. But when I'm in the heat of the moment watching the match...
Oh, yeah, you get into it.
I want to say, oh, not, oh, that was a cool high spot, but, oh, shit, Roman Reigns just went for a spear. He hit that fucking post. Did he mean to do that kind of thing like that?
Well,
is he actually hurt?
The funny thing is, I think also what part of it is for as far as indie wrestling is concerned, if you're a mainstream wrestling fan like like me for the most part. I mean,
yeah, we're both mainstream.
Yeah, I was like, do you consider yourself mainstream? Yes.
Yeah.
I think part of it that does not help the indie, like watching indie wrestling, is I don't know who any of these people are unless it's like a WWE fan.
It doesn't have anything to do.
I don't have a dog in that fight.
That's not a problem with me. Yes, it is better.
I mean, for me,
matches are better when you have a rooting interest. Like when I see two wrestlers, even in the WWE or NXT, that I don't really care about.
Yeah,
it's tough to get invested in the match, up to the performers to get me invested, because that's how I became a Dolph Ziggler fan.
Yeah,
it was like, I want to say it was him versus Albert Del Rio, maybe one of their matches. No, it was him. No, it was before
Del Rio, a little bit before Del Rio, I want to say, because you were on his train before.
I want to say it was him and Cena that really got me invested in Dolph Ziggler. Maybe him and Jericho before that. But either way, it's like...
Actually, I'll go...
No, it was him and Jericho. It was Jericho.
I was going to say Jericho.
Retirement match that got me invested, because I knew Jericho was going on tour. I knew he was leaving with Fozzy. I didn't care, because I was like, Jericho's going to lose, Ziggler's going to go over, whatever. I don't give a shit. But I watched the match, and it was Ziggler's performance that made me get on board with Dolph Ziggler. I was like,
it was those elbows, wasn't it?
This guy, those fucking elbows, I love that. And when he does the pause and the spin.
And the sweat flick.
Yeah. And it was his performance that got me into it. And that's the thing, is like, I can become a fan. Like, that's how I got into NXT. Like, when I started watching NXT, I'd never seen any of these guys wrestle before. Because it was like Finn Balor, he was from Japan. This was pre-Shinsuke, and you had like Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
These were guys I'd never seen wrestle before.
A-Rai got a second wind in NXT. Yeah.
Zack Ryder rejuvenated his career.
Yeah, exactly.
Your boy Mojo Rawley.
Get hype, bro!
And
what happened to him now? It's that freaking Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Kidnapping children.
Yeah, that too.
But it was one of those things, like, these guys got me invested. Like, I got really invested in Finn Balor because he was able to tell a story in the ring.
Oh,
Kevin Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, they told stories in the ring. That got me invested in these guys who had zero build-up.
Mm-hmm.
And like Bobby Roode, I knew of him from Beer Money and TNA from a few matches.
Yeah.
But I didn't care when, like, I was like, cool, Bobby Roode's in the crowd at
Dallas.
NXT Dallas. I can see him from my seat right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool. That's a name. But I wasn't invested in Bobby Roode. But when Bobby Roode got into that ring, he made me invest in Bobby Roode.
Oh, yeah. Like, neither one of us knew how good he was. And I watched TNA way more than you did.
And like Shinsuke, I saw the premiere of Shinsuke. I saw his first match in NXT.
Oh, yeah, you should.
And I'd
match,
never
yeah.
seen him wrestle before.
Oh, man, yeah.
But his performance in the ring got me invested because, A, he gave bumps, he took bumps. Very little of what he did with Sami Zayn looked choreographed.
Yeah.
Now, when I watch a lot of indie stuff, and Ring of Honor is horribly suffering from this right now, I see guys like taking a bunch of high spot, and they're putting themselves in position. Like, we kind of talked about this on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of Sheamus moseying himself in position. And I can buy that. I can suspend my disbelief for, like, one or two moves like that, especially if it's off the top rope. Any off-the-top-rope move, I got to suspend my disbelief. When I see guys waiting for someone to hit a move and stuff like that, and I'm seeing constant flips, constant reversals, to me, that's not a fight. And that's what I wanted. That's what I watch wrestling for. I suspend my disbelief to think, hey, this is an actual fight between two human beings. I know it's not, but for that moment while I'm watching the match, my logical side of my brain turns off, and the creative side is like, fuck it, they're brawling, dude! And so when I see too many spots like that where I see guys waiting on one another, I totally get dragged out of it. And,
oh, yeah.
And I feel it ruins the ebb.
See, that's when
match.
My phone comes out. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, let's see what Twitter's saying about this match, because I don't give a shit. So a lot of people ripped into Rip and Randy Orton for this shit, but they were right.
Mm.
It's too formulaic, because, like, the WWE has its problems. Most of its problems are with storytelling and booking.
Mm-hmm.
But I can find very little fault in most matches I watch in the WWE, because they're done very well. They're booked really well as far as the match is concerned, because it looks like a brawl. And, like, we kind of talked about a few podcasts ago about, like, Charlotte doing her moonsault on Raw, and we see more high spots on Raw.
Yeah.
But they need to save that. Like, Jim Ross was saying, they need to save that for the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I wish that she wouldn't do her...
Well, she's cut back on it. Because she watches the podcast. She understood I was concerned. Yeah. And she knows what I'm a big fan of her father is, and that if I don't approve, her dad probably doesn't approve. So she probably cut it out. She's like, you know what? Josh makes a good point. Because it's one of those things, like, her dad probably said the same thing to her, but she didn't listen. Just like when I coach Sean in Little League, he don't listen to shit I say. Fucking Harry will say the exact same thing to him, and all of a sudden, Sean's doing it right. Same thing with Landon, Harry's kid. Harry will tell him to throw a certain way, doesn't do it. I'm like, hey, Landon, why don't you just try to get your arm all the way back there? Next thing you know, next pitch, Landon's arm's all the way back, throws a fucking strike. It's just kids don't listen to their parents. So Charlotte saw the podcast. She was like, you know, Josh is right. I shouldn't be hitting that moonsault on Raw or SmackDown. I gotta save it. And now, she has been.
I wonder what your reaction would be if she actually said that.
I mark out. And you know me, I don't mark out, but I'm like,
yeah!
Someone interviewed her. So Charlotte, we've noticed you're not doing the moonsault on SmackDown right now.
Oh, I discovered this little podcast.
I was watching this podcast, Armbar, and this guy, Josh, who's adorable,
Pause.
By the way.
What?
Rewind, DVR, record that shit. That's going to the pre, which does remind me, if we go to Awesome Con, we do meet Shinsuke and Charlotte.
I'm of the mindset I'm going,
we're going. I don't know why I said if. But when we go to Awesome Con, if we get a chance to meet Charlotte and Shinsuke, we got to try to get them cut a promo for Armbar. Just like Steven Larson have a bunch of them when they do the interviews, like, can you just say
I'm
going
to leave that to you, because I don't know that I'm going to remember to do it.
And I'm more charming and more charismatic. I am the charismatic champion.
Fuck you. I'm out of here.
All right, the Josh show. I've been waiting for this for a while.
Fuck
Get the fuck
here.
Out of my frame.
Give me back my camera.
Oh, that's right. Shit. And you have to edit this. All right, so basically, get on your spot.
Oh, I am on my spot.
I'm not on my
dick.
Spot.
Get out of here.
Ah! see, this is what more I want. So, damn it, I keep bringing up a thing. So, on to Raw, which I'm going to admit, this week, wrestling fans, we had a bunch of rain here in Virginia, and a lot of my Little League games got rained out. So this week, I've had 4 games in 5 nights. I've been going to sleep as soon as I got home. I've watched little wrestling. Though I did, I think I watched all of SmackDown.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
I think you caught all of it.
Yeah,
maybe caught like a third of Raw.
And actually, if I want to be serious, not only is it 4 games in 5 nights, but it's 5 games in 7 days. I've had two, like, today was a day off for me, and Monday was a day off. But we had a game Sunday. And
so your days off or my days off from the gym?
Yeah, I was exhausted Monday, dude. I went to bed, I think at like 9. Like, because you know me, like,
yeah.
If I can't stay up for all of Raw, I'll usually go, which was a waste because I kept fucking waking up. In fact, I went to bed at 9, woke up at like 9:45, tried to go back to sleep, woke up again at like 10:45. I was like, I should have just fucking stayed up for Raw. This is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was exhausted just from all the coaching shit I had to do. So I didn't watch, I only watched like the first hour of Raw. But what I saw, I like. I do like, okay. One thing I don't like is I don't like Brock Lesnar having a title.
Yeah.
Because
it's never there anymore.
Yeah. But the good news to that is that could elevate the IC title.
Yeah, which they've tried a couple times.
That's the only belt on there. So I'm hoping for that. But I do like what Kurt Angle did, 5-way challenge. Bray, Finn, Roman, Rollins, and then Samoa Joe.
Yes.
And so I did like that, and the thing I didn't like what it led to was Roman Reigns going clean over Finn Balor. Because this is, again, WWE. Vince, look at me. This is my time with you, Vince. Get out of the frame. This is me and Vince time. Vince, look at me, right here. You looking, Vince? Because I'm trying to save your company. Only I can save your company, all right? Just like I saved Marvel Comics. That's a different story for a different podcast, but I did save Marvel Comics. It was in the 70s, it was a weird time, LSD. We're not going to talk about that right now. What we are going to talk about, Vince, is you have Roman Reigns battered and beaten from his run-ins with Braun Strowman. Kind of selling his shoulder injury, kind of. He's doing a little bit better job still, kind of sucking at selling. But he goes for that spear, hits that post. That's the perfect opportunity to have Finn hit his version of the zigzag, or drop kick him into the post, then hit his version of the zigzag. Coup de grace, when Finn looks strong, Roman Reigns is still hurt, so he doesn't get hurt by that loss. But no, you have an injured Roman Reigns beat Finn Balor. And here's the problem, Vince. Finn is the future of the Raw brand. It's Finn, and it's Seth Rollins, and it's Samoa Joe. It's not Roman Reigns, all right? I know you want to push Roman Reigns to the moon and back. It's not going to happen. We don't like it. The casuals don't fucking like it. And if the casuals, those filthy casuals, filthy.
Oh, you spit in my mouth.
Sorry.
Talk about filthy. Anyway, go on.
You don't even want to know where my tongue is.
Shut up, you. Go on.
You can't have that. Like, if Roman's going to win, you got to give us a reason. He can't win clean over another babyface. Okay, we had a good reason for Finn to win that match because Roman was already hurt. But now you just make Finn look weak, which does not help if you want to push him to the moon and back. So, Vince, you got to rethink this whole Roman thing. I'm not saying to, like, bury him. But what I'm saying is you have to plot it out a little bit better. Because when he beats The Undertaker, then he beats Finn Balor clean. And if he wins that fucking five-man elimination match, holy shit, dude.
He's going to get booed.
Oh, my God. It's just like...
to death.
You don't get it. You have to build him up slowly. It's like he got punished for the drug, whatever, which we don't know. Probably steroids. He got punished for that. But as soon as his punishment was over, he's back in the main event scene. Just back winning. Just back doing stuff.
He didn't even lose his spot.
I know. It's just kind of like you gotta break him down and build him back up. You have to give us a reason to get behind him. Because The Rock, we had a reason to get behind him.
It doesn't help that he just still looks like he did in The Shield.
Yeah.
Like, nothing about him has changed since The Shield.
No.
Freaking Dean Ambrose, completely different. And Seth Rollins, completely
and
different.
And we prove it. Seth Rollins has changed several times since The Shield.
Yeah, completely different.
And... we've proven he's not the breakout star of The Shield. There's probably a reason why when CM Punk was coming up with the idea of The Shield, he wanted Chris Hero and not Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And we know you hate CM Punk, but granted, Chris Hero's gotten really fat and I'm not too high on him now, but...
I don't know if he was ever really in the best shape.
He looks gross now.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
Which is probably why they were like,
Mr.
No.
Oh No.
Yeah, which is probably why Vince and Hunter are like, no, he's not going to we're not going to have that guy. Pick somebody
because
else.
Vince McMahon loves big sweaty men.
Vince McMahon loves big sweaty men. That is copyright for King Ross on What Culture Don't Sue. That was less than 30 seconds anyways.
Yeah.
Alicia Fox beat Sasha Banks' claim, which I totally got up and missed because I was like, ah, Sasha.
Yeah, you went to go take a piss.
Like, Sasha's got to come in the middle. And,
looked up.
And I know that's wrong, and the women's matches are not automatic bathroom break for me. But like I said, I was tired. I was having a nice glass of whiskey. I had to pee. And it just happened during that match. I figured, like, I got up because I was like, I ain't going to miss much. Sasha's got this in the bag.
Well, I thought it was going to be a little bit longer than, like, where it ended. Like, yeah. I thought you were going to get back in time.
Because it literally, like, we saw the entrances, which were bullshit because Alicia was already in the ring. Sasha was, like, halfway through her entrance when TV came back.
Yeah.
And they had just started grabbing. I was like, shit, I got pissed. I get up to go piss, and I'm like, ding, 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 ding. They're like, who fucking won? Alicia Fox. Alicia Fox! How? I don't know. I looked down. Fuck, I found out today that it was clean. I was like, what?
Yeah, not even any interference by Noam Dar.
I know, what?
Not even. And, wait.
What did you do, Sasha? What did you do?
I don't know.
What?
good for Alicia, I guess.
Yeah, Miss Fox.
I've never really been a huge fan of her.
Nothing against
her.
You,
yeah.
You're pretty. You've gotten way better at wrestling than
she
used to be.
She definitely has shown a lot of progress.
You have no right beating Sasha Banks, though. Cleanly, at least. Like, you can beat her cheating, but yeah, no right beating her clean. We saw Jeff Hardy beat Sheamus. Kind of alluded to that. Sheamus had to shimmy his way to get
down. Yeah.
Which is why, like, the Swanton doesn't work as a singles finisher. Only because, like, kind of works like Jeff and Matt, like, clearing the ring. Matt can put him in position, and it works.
Though
Jeff
like,
had a nasty ass RKO fucking
twist
poetry.
Of fate out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah. See, I feel like if like Jeff was like maybe I don't know like a step to his right, and hit that, then all Sheamus really would have had to do is just roll.
Yeah.
Not roll weirdly because he had to turn and roll.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of took me out of it because I noticed it almost immediately. Like, I hate it when they have to do that.
And my favorite match of the night, The Miz and Dean Ambrose. That's good. Like, when Dean Ambrose is out of the main event scene, I love him. Because the best part was, mm-hmm. Miz went for that low blow. Well, two things. The two best parts of that match is when Dean got up on the top rope, and the Miz put Maryse in front of him. And he was like, you got 3 seconds. One, two, and she got the fuck out of any dope. And then at the end of the match, the Miz went for the low blow. Dean caught him, was like, turnabout's fair play. DQ.
He just kicked him right in front of the ref, and it was like, oh!
Yeah, that was great.
A side note, though, I do like how Dean was actually upset that he got disqualified.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of times you'll get, like, guys like, oh, whatever. And then just walk back. He was actually, like, pissed off.
That was pretty funny.
And it's the little things, because I wouldn't want to take, like, a DQ loss.
And then we had the best heel in the company come out, cut a nasty little promo on Bayley, and of course I'm talking about Miss Bliss. God damn, she's so good. And she gets better every week. Like, when she fucking stopped the what chant, what? Alexa Bliss, the best champion ever, say what?
You know,
what?
I didn't think...
Fuck yeah, and no one wants her anymore.
I didn't think it was possible for her to get better until... But then she came to Raw. And I was like, how did you get better? You were already really good.
And she just ripped Bayley to shreds and then beat her ass with a kendo stick. And it's funny, I hate rooting against Bayley, and they found the one person to make me root against Bayley. And it's Alexa, and she needs to go over at Extreme Rules. She needs to have a long title reign with that belt.
Because
the thing is, what fucked over Charlotte's heel run with the belt was, like, she'd win it on a pay-per-view, then lose it, like, a week or two later on Raw.
Yeah, she'd lose it on Raw.
Yeah.
And then just to win it back at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, Alexa, I think Alexa should hold the belt till at least SummerSlam, but if they really want a huge pop for Bayley winning it back, because, yeah, no one else on the Raw Women's Division deserves it more than Bayley, have her win it at Survivor Series. Just have her chase it, because the thing is, like, you know, you always get those louder pops for when the face goes over. When it's a long chase.
Yeah, when they finally get it.
Yeah, and that's what they fucked up with Bayley. Because she should have won it at Mania.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have won it, like,
the
2 weeks
before.
Or was it the pay-per-view before? Remember, that's right, she did beat her at the pay-per-view before. I can't remember if it was a Raw or pay-per-view because...
Yeah.
It was just like, that's when she should have won it, and they kind of messed that up because they should have had her chase it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get that chase longer here.
I hope so.
And the only problem I always have with the women's division is, like, once a woman loses a title, usually... And she loses her rematch. She's, like, out of the championship.
Oh, she gets, like, dropped from TV for, like, a few weeks.
But I don't think it's going to happen with Bliss. Because I don't see another heel on that roster, on the Raw roster.
I want them...
Unless Sasha goes heel.
Yeah.
But even then, yes, Sasha's a better in-ring performer. She's not a better heel. Because the two best heels on the roster are The Miz and Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
They're by far... And Roman Reigns.
I do want to see them do more with the dynamic of Alexa and Nia Jax.
I do want to see those two team up.
Because I did not know this. They're apparently
best friends.
I didn't know this until I think it was a Jericho podcast.
Jericho podcast,
Like, I didn't
know. Which, go listen to that. That's a good one. And also, you did one with Jinder Mahal. I'm actually kind of rooting for Jinder Mahal.
I finished that this morning.
Jinder's
like,
a cool dude.
All right, yeah, he's really cool. I didn't realize how cool he was.
Did you watch that video clip I sent you of 3MB botching?
I did not get a chance to
watch
it.
We gotta watch that after this. Yeah. Freaking hilarious. Because they botch, and, like, we just gotta cut and edit that out. And Todd Phillips was like, we're live, we can't do that. And they're like...
They pulled a Psycho Sid?
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic.
No!
So, Roman Reigns, Gold Truth, or Goldust turned on R-Truth. Nah. Seth Rollins defeated Bray Wyatt via disqualification.
I do like how he did, how Goldie ended that. That's what's up!
Yeah. So that was kind of Raw. Raw wasn't bad. SmackDown was just building up to it. We had Kevin Owens do the highlight reel, which was pretty good.
Because this week was the go-home show, right?
Yeah. Jinder Mahal beat AJ Styles via cheating by Kevin Owens. Breezango doing great stuff again with their whole, like, backstage thing.
It's there's police, SVU,
and
whatever.
Like, the janitor thing, and Fandango didn't recognize him.
I definitely started laughing when he was like, what are you doing?
So good. They're just so good. And, yeah, nothing else really happened there. Carmella beat Naomi. Randy Orton beat Baron Corbin. Meh.
Yeah, like that. That
set my belt down for a second.
So that main event. I was like, no.
I have no idea where our notebook is, and I need to buy a list of Jericho.
I saw it up by the fireplace.
Too bad now, because I got this. We're going to do it on the big board, because we're not using that as a script. So, we're going to start from the bottom. Ty Dillinger versus Aiden English.
Ty Dillinger.
Yeah. Oh, that's not how you spell English at all.
Just to go with the with your rant last time of nobody gets over with the crybaby. Yeah.
Josh and Nelson going for Ty Dillinger. Okay. So next up, we have Luke Harper versus Eric Rowan. This one I'm not sure about.
I'm not sure because they haven't built it up.
Yeah, they've just kind of built it. They haven't really built it up.
I'm going to go with Eric Rowan on this one.
All right, I was going to go with Eric Rowan, but since this is kind of a toss-up, I'm going to go Luke Harper.
Yeah, because it's one of those things. It's
just to keep it a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, we match a lot.
Yeah, so we've got the women's six-man tag. I'm just going to put W face and W heel because I'm not listing everybody out.
Oh.
Who do you got? I got the faces winning.
You know, I'll take the heels just to be different.
Take the heels? Yeah. All right. Okay, so we got the tag title match. We got the Fashion Police, which is what I'm calling them because that's what they should be called.
Fash. Yeah. Fashion.
Versus Usos. You know, my head says Usos, but I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going to go with my twin brother from a different mother, Breezango. Breezy.
Your tag team partner?
Yeah.
Don't tell Fandango.
It was Fandango's idea. It's like, I don't know if I think I brought this up on the podcast after Tribute for the Troops when I met Breezango.
Yeah, I thought Breeze was like, and Fandango, you're out.
Yeah, and I was like, no, what had happened was I was like, Breezy complimented my hair, mm-hmm. and I actually shaved then too, and as you notice, I'm shaved now. Fandango kind of looked up from signing somebody else, and was like, he went, oh shit. And he was like, damn, you guys look alike. And Breezy went to him and was like, Fandango, you're out. That's when I became a Fashion Police fan. Like, I've always kind of enjoyed...
You were teetering.
Was teetering, because when they got together... Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've liked Tyler Breeze since NXT, because A, he's a good worker, and I love his gimmick, because as you notice with my arrogant personality, I gravitate to the other arrogant assholes in the WWE. So who do you got, Fashion Police or Usos?
I want to say Fashion Police, but I'm going to go with the Usos.
You're probably right with that. Like I said, I'm going with my heart, not my head.
I want to go with my heart, but I'm going to have to go with my head on this one just because it's too strong there.
So we got Dolph and Shinsuke.
Ooh.
This one should, all logic says Shinsuke should win it.
Mm.
But I don't know if they want to start, if they want to continue the feud.
If they want to continue the feud, Dolph needs to win.
But I debut pay-per-view, I gotta go with Shinsuke. I don't want to go with Shinsuke, but I gotta go with Shinsuke.
I want to go to... Damn it, we're like the exact opposite this time. I'm gonna go with Dolph, because for the same reason. I want to go with Shinsuke, but I don't... But I feel like Dolph might win. Mm-hmm. I think he has a better chance of winning.
KO versus AJ.
Oh.
I got AJ. Because they gotta put a title back on AJ. And I don't think... And I don't think he's going to be in the WWE title scene for a while, so I gotta go with him.
I'm gonna go with AJ too. This time I'm following my heart. Because my head says KO, but...
Alright, and then we got the WWE title match. Jinder versus Randy.
I'm going with Jinder.
I want Jinder to win.
I feel like if they're gonna go through all this trouble of giving him a push when he was not but 3 weeks ago a jobber. Sorry.
You know, Nelson, you convinced me. I'm going Jinder too.
Yeah.
You've taken me out because I was like, there's no way Randy's winning, but I was like, you're making sense. It's like, and he's got the Bollywood boys with him. It's one of those.
Which, the Bollywood boys are hilarious to me for one simple reason. They are so much smaller than Jinder.
They are.
One of them looks like Umair.
That is true. And they're both taller than Keish. Yeah. But no, it's kind of funny, like...
Because this is the size difference. No!
And the funny thing about Jinder is, like, with him being all shredded and ripped and veiny, he looks heelish. But, like, looking back on that 3MB video, he just looked like a normal Indian dude there. He's a big, muscular Indian dude, but he just looks normal. But with being all ripped, he looks like a bad guy.
Yeah.
So I kind of dig that, so...
Yeah, I liked his story about, man... I was in a bad place, and then I was like, you know what? I need to stop doing this shit.
Yeah.
He just pulled himself up.
Yeah. So, good for him, man.
Yeah.
So, Jinder, we're rooting for you on Sunday, mostly because we picked you, but we got a, we got a good differentiating board there, so...
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
We do need to start thinking of punishments, though. Man, did you watch the punishment video for What Culture?
No.
Freaking Adam, not Blumpier, but the other Adam, had to drink, like, these three shots of hot sauce, and one was, like, Triple X El Diablo, way hotter than Ghost Chili Peppers. He got an ulcer from that shit.
I'm not doing that.
No, we're not doing that.
I don't want an ulcer. I know you don't want an ulcer.
Fucked out, dude.
And I know you don't want spicy twice, just from hot sauce.
Maybe the punishment for this one will be, like, five chops on camera. That's what we'll do, five chops. Five good Ric Flair chops, just open hand, big shot.
I don't know if I want to take that from you.
Phrasing? And on that bombshell,
I'll give you phrasing.
We're going to say goodnight. As always, watch wrestling. Be back Tuesday for our Clash of Nerds regular podcast. And then come back usually on Thursdays. Again, baseball fucked with the schedule for this one. This is why this is going up on Friday as opposed to actually Wednesday when. No, Thursday when it goes up. Dude, everything's blending together now.
Jeez, yeah.
I'm so tired.
I know, because like you said.
I don't know how I'm standing right now, ladies and gentlemen. I am exhausted. Because you might not think coaching is a lot of work. It is when you're coaching 8, 9, and 10-year-olds. And also, when you're standing outside in 90-degree weather, holy shit, does that take a lot out of you. Especially when you do it four times in a week when you're not supposed
to. Those coaches' shirts don't look like they breathe very well.
They breathe all right.
Okay.
They got
because I look at that shit and I feel stifled.
Yeah. Nah, it's all right, but it's actually when you mentioned that one of my players was like, "How are you wearing two shirts right now?" I was like, "It's all right."
One's soaked to the bone, so it's keeping me cool.
Yeah. That's kind of how it was. All right, so on that note, good night, Canada.